We have Claudia Brogan. She serves as the training manager at the Public Health Informatics Institute in Decatur, Georgia. She provides training and support to institute staff and grantees on presentation skills, audience interaction, and understanding group dynamics. She contributes her understanding and experience in adult learning strategies to support the design and implementation of training materials and projects for institute programs. She is also responsible for directing, developing, and evaluating a comprehensive set of training programs for multiple audiences in the Institute's projects and programs. Her current projects include developing and delivering the curriculum materials for the Informatics Academy. In addition, Claudia is a certified professional facilitator with 20 years experience in training and education. Prior to joining the Institute, Claudia worked at CDC's National Center for Chronic Disease and Prevention for 5 years. she holds a master's degree in education from the University of Wisconsin-Platteville and a Bachelor of Fine Arts degree in education, English and theater. from Illinois Wesleyan University. She has done doctoral studies in instructional systems development at Indiana University. Welcome, Claudia.
They're going, whoa, Indiana University. All these connections.
I know.
Good morning. It's great to be here. And I hope that you can see from the comments that we're offering that our intention is to provide folks with ideas and observations about a wide variety of possibilities that folks can pursue if they are interested in learning more about public health informatics. There's a range from formal to informal. There's a range from brief to lengthy. There's a range from applied to academic and all hybrids in between. And as you listen to the descriptions, you can tell the good options that we are trying to build together. Now, the truth is that at the Public Health Informatics Institute, we literally have benefited from each of the three folks that's sitting at this head table, and we are grateful for their input to these two projects that I want to tell you about. I will refer both to our Applied Public Health Informatics curriculum, or because we are in public health, of course it must have an acronym, so it must be called AFIC as its nickname. And I'll also talk to you briefly about the story of the Informatics Academy. And these two are related, have benefited from each of the folks that are sitting at this table. First, let me tell you very briefly. The Applied Public Health Informatics Curriculum, or AFIC, I'll tell you three things about that. Why did we take on that project, how it developed very briefly, and what it looks like. The truth is, the bottom line, you are welcome to any of these pieces and parts. That's the very first word that was said out of my supervisor's mouth when we began this journey a couple years ago, was this is all going out to the world. This is none of it private. Everyone can have it, borrow from it, adapt it how they choose. Secondly, I want to tell you briefly about our newest form of this, and that's the Public Health Informatics Academy. We have just completed, i.e. survived, our first cohort of our Informatics Academy. It was a lot of fun and a lot of work, and we now have folks who've completed that six-month experience. It's been a great set of work projects together. I'll tell you why, who that's intended for, how that has been developed, and what our plans are next. Very briefly, and you'll have access to all of these slides. For the tiny size font, I do apologize. I tried to restrain myself and choose just a few key words to tell you. If I could tell you in one slide what we hope to accomplish with AFIC, or if you will, if I can refer to it as the curriculum project, the most important thing to tell you is it was collaboratively developed by key partners who were so important in this, as well as public health, real-life practitioners, academicians who led the way, and informatics leaders. That it was the journey from the very beginning was about creating that together and sharing what our ideas, observations, and suggestions would be for this. Secondly, I want you to understand it's competency-based, that we are informed by several of the pieces of knowledge and information about the competencies. We specifically examined the CDC's competencies for public health informaticians and literally had Denise Koo involved on the work group from the very beginning, which was incredibly really helpful, as well as informed by the Council on Linkages, their core competencies. The third thing I'd like you to know about it is that it's applied in nature. It's all meant to be applied in nature, that it's meant with a public health practitioner in mind. It's meant to be thinking about practical applications and projects. It's meant to be thinking about being portfolio-based. It's meant to be thinking about informing their work. The fourth thing I want you to understand is that we have partnered each inch of the way with our friends at Rollins School of Public Health. Both Kathy Miner and Melissa Alperin have been at our elbows each part of the process and have guided us. Collaboration in action is the very first sentence that I shared with you. Here's collaboration in action. Perhaps you know either of these two folks in the world of public health. God bless them. You'll see Torney Smith here consulting with and informing Dave Ross. It goes on and on. The channels for delivery then, as we think about this collaboratively developed project, that our vision is that this can be rolled out in several different fashions. We've created 10 modules now as a package for this curriculum. They are ready to be developed. I can send them to you in an email. And this curriculum framework is offered to the schools for public health in an open sense, as well as community colleges and other centers for learning. And the idea is that any of the schools of public health can select from these, can fold these into existing courses, can select 1, 3, 5, or 10, whatever they choose. They can have all of that. And we are grateful for the financial support we got from Robert Wood Johnson as well as the CDC. Now, in this framework, we have the 10 modules. And I'll give you a sense of each of the 10 modules, what they were. Inside each of these modules, we are supplying for folks a framework for the courses to be offered. We include the course description, the learning objectives that have been hammered out, negotiated, and agreed upon for each of these 10 modules, recommended portfolio projects that we would suggest, instructor notes for the sequencing, and the delivery, the rollout of that, as well as many as we could think of for the resources, the texts, the articles, the supplemental readings that we came up with. And again, as you would understand, that's a live document. We'll never be done. Let me just give you a very brief overview then, and it's similar to each of the two folks that's informed by what you've heard from both Roland and from Harold. So the AFIC module begins with the introduction to public health informatics. We wrestled with, in the work group, a sense that we would like folks to come into the door with public health. If they hadn't, we would recommend and help draft a public health 101 as the starting place. But once these modules begin, it's an introduction to public health informatics. Then data, then interpersonal and organizational communication. Each of these three we sequenced intentionally with a build for the topics that would be necessary and helpful for folks who'd like to become more familiar with informatics in public health. Next, the fourth module is project management and system lifecycle. Fifth, data management, enterprise architecture. And sixth, the business aspects of public health informatics. Seventh, information security and privacy. Although you could make a case that should be the very first word on the very first day of any of these conversations, the legal and ethical issues related. Eighth, the applied public health informatics evaluation and research. Ninth, information for public health decision making. And tenth, the informatics in support of public health leadership and management. Now, as you take a look at the scope then of what's offered in these modules, you will understand that this is why the collaboration was such an important part of this, because each of the different perspectives that folks brought to the creation of this was important for us to have a rounded view of this. I keep looking at Paula, who was one of our very faithful members of the work group from the very beginning, and I am ever grateful to Roland for his very careful attention to detail as one of our external reviewers. And Harold is in very close communication with our own beloved Dave Ross at the Institute and has offered very helpful perspectives for Dave all along the way to inform our process of building this curriculum, and his perspective from Johns Hopkins has been guiding guiding us all along the way. So we are stronger for having been affiliated with each of these three. So that's the base, and the first portion I wanted to talk to you about is our curriculum framework, or it's nicknamed the AFIC. And again, I will say, to just be clear about this, it is open and ready to be shared in each of the elements that was listed earlier. You're welcome to email me. I have a very simple email address, which is simply my name that was on the first slide, C. Brogan, B-R-O-G-A-N, as in Nancy, at phii.org. C. Brogan at phii.org. You could try and email me today, however, I'm not there. I will get back to you, I promise, as soon as I'm back at my desk. That's our AFIC foundation, then, of the 10 modules. We have built upon that now in rolling out our first cohort of the Informatics Academy. We are very grateful for the funding we've received from the de Beaumont Academy and their very generous support of our bringing this to life, to say, being informed by these competencies, what can we provide for folks who work in public health but may not have time to stop their work and go back to school for a master's or PhD, who may not even be able to commit for a two-year-long certificate experience but need to keep working, and could be informed or have their work strengthened at least by having their experience broadened with learning about informatics in the world of public health and coming to this experience and this discussion with a practical project that is of concern to them, with a real live informatics challenge that they are wrestling with. Could they benefit from peers, from interaction, from applications that would inform that particular current project of theirs? So there's five total of humans that you can see here, at least two of whom I've seen this morning, and all the rest of whom may be here as well. Our first cohort has just completed from January to July of this year. And they were in a six-month experience. 34 participants altogether came from 9 different team locations. Absolutely focused upon current problems, not hypothetical. What's your headache today? What's the problem on your desk that you're dancing around and avoiding because it's daunting, that needs practical application? So it was anchored at the beginning and the end with a face-to-face meeting and had online interactions in between, including a webinar that was built on their suggestions of their strongest need. And as we polled them and were in conversation with them, they talked of having a lot of needs and questions about actually bringing people on board. Specifically, what I mean by that is there were several points during the face-to-face training that launched it, where we said it was almost like a placeholder, and we said, and here's where you'll have a meeting and you'll have people discuss this and you'll agree to a plan. And what the Academy folks said is, let's actually get a little bit more specific about that. When you say bring people together, when you say have them come to a decision together, when you say have them agree on a plan, let's get specific about that. That doesn't go as easily as just listing those words. That's actually challenging for us. So the webinar was built on bringing people on board, the art and science of bringing people on board and offering them tips and techniques and practices that they could use. There were also mentoring opportunities provided. I just spotted one of our mentors there in the back of the room who has helped us greatly with this academy, that senior practice leaders in public health informatics offered to mentor these folks and sit with their teams specifically and say, what's your challenge? What's your situation? What have you tried? Could you try this? Have you contacted that person? Here's a resource I do know of. I could send it to you this afternoon. So the mentoring experience was very rich in applying to that specific team of 3 or 4 folks that came from a specific place. And then the closing face-to-face was an opportunity for each of the 9 teams to get to hear about the project updates from their colleagues. And actually, with good, clear listening and crisp responses, were able to offer each other observations or suggestions and get a chance in that room to hear from 9 different project teams across the country of what's going on today in public health informatics in state and local health departments. Mentoring webinar, templates, tools, and project progress reviewed by all. Simply, our priorities were these, that it was filled with practical examples and the language of best practices. It was trying to help folks discern successful and unsuccessful strategies. It was intended to aim at project managers who have a need in local and state health departments for applications for enterprise lifecycle information, for systems implementation challenges. It was based on presentations, peer group discussions, practical applications, and it was peppered with senior mentor response and counsel. The upcoming cohorts, if you have met Dave Ross, you understand that he would like very widespread, that he would like this to go to all corners of the world. And so now we've completed one, and so we're on a roll. And the idea is that we are now seriously taking a look at our next steps for the delivery online of these modules, that the face-to-face learning and the online learning together have benefited our participants. And now, as we move to next steps, taking a look at what can be provided for them with online delivery methods or blended learning, perhaps for our next cohorts, aiming as we continue to work on wider and wider spread, that we have ideas included as the subtitle could be, what a public health manager needs to understand about IT. In other words, we've been very clear, this has never been about making folks into informaticians. This has not been certifying them or granting them a degree in information technology. This is informing the work of a public health manager with what they need to know about IT in practical application for their own issues. Core concepts for project success, enterprise performance lifecycle as a key concept, project management as a key concept, and communication stakeholder analysis have really been the pillars for the work and the ideas. The current state is that we are going through a rigorous evaluation right now. We are benefiting greatly from our colleague from UNC, who has taken care to document the experience from beginning to end with our 34 first participants, that he has already in his documentation shown us statistically significant data about the fact that not only did participants learn, but they also have proven in the data that he has gained that learning improved the projects that they were working on. Now, we had primarily mid-level program managers, but we also had a range. We had very seasoned folks join in as participants, and we had a participant, God bless her, who had been working in public health informatics for a total of 9 days. And so our range was a little wider than we might have thought, and yet was practical and useful for each of the folks within that range. We are certainly in the research and development phase right now, and intend to be continually improving what it is that we offer. The long-term vision is that we'll be providing a professional certificate, and it will be in the mode of continuing education that we do so, that it will be sustainable. If this is not sustainable, we have missed the mark, that we intend to build each piece on what we've learned from the last, that we'll increase the spread, that we'll offer the delivery through universities and community colleges, and that we are currently working with university partners, establishing active relationships right now, today, in these hallways, for the delivery in the distance-based learning platform, that those negotiations are underway, and that as we partner in that mode, we have the benefit and experience from the experience and academic background, which will strengthen what's offered for our participants. So that's the Applied Public Health Informatics Curriculum, or APHIC, and it's also the Informatics Academy. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Claudia. Do we have any questions to start off? Yes.
I'm Hold up. Let people know that the ASIC curriculum is available on our website, www.phii.org. You should be able to find it on the homepage, but it's also available in the
This is Terry Conroy from the Public Health Informatics Institute. She works at our school. Thank you. Thank you.
I think we're theoretically supposed to use this, so people who comment.
You want to restate her question or her?
Yes.
That the curriculum is available on our website.
What? The curriculum is available at our website, which is phii.org. You should be able to find it. It's right on the home page. It's listed there, but it's also in the resources section. That's the AFIC curriculum.
Great.
I knew I was going to play Oprah today. More Phil Donahue, I guess.
All right. Hi, Marty LaVenture from Minnesota. Thank you. Great panel as usual. And Harold, one of the questions, and I guess for all of you, are you looking at the Master's in Public Health degree as with informatics as a like epidemiology? I have a Master's in Public Health with a focus on epidemiology. Do you look at Does the school look at that as a Master's of Public Health with a focus in informatics, or is it the Master's in Informatics that has a focus in public health? How are the schools sort of looking at that and with their turf areas?
So you asked an A or B, so the answer is yes. So I'm sure you don't want to know the internecine struggles of degree creation at a university with. But to make a long story short, we have a master's of informatics from the School of Medicine, and then we have an MPH where you can get an informatics certificate as part of your MPH. The only thing that's mildly bureaucratic is the next step is to create what's called an MPH concentration, which is a little bit more formalized about what we're doing with this certificate. But basically, you can come in with a public health background and get the Master's of Informatics, which is more a little bit more techie, or you can get your regular MPH. The third thing that we have to tackle even more is how to get informatics into the regular MPH program. That's our next challenge or whatever, the next thing that we want to aim at and what is the appropriate level and how to take how to mainstream informatics basically into the MPH curriculum. I think the council linkages, I think they themselves would say that their informatics objectives were not necessarily developed with the rigor that they would have liked. And so I think we have an opportunity to affect how the council linkages themselves think about those curriculum. But does that address your concern? I'm not sure if that was your real question.
Well, perhaps just adding to that, do you have an opinion on which way it should be? You or Roland or Claudia?
Just to kind of in general, what I've seen is that we have just started a PhD program in epidemiology, and a lot of the students in the master's with the emphasis in epidemiology and the PhD students are now getting very interested in having the certification in informatics. But I think one of the things Harold alluded to earlier was there's really not a certification yet for informatics programs in public health. So this isn't one of those certified programs, so it doesn't fit into the current MPH or PhD School of Public Health programs per se, where it's certified by the team and reviewed. So I think that's one of the issues as well, and why you see a separation between informatics and the public health curriculum. But I think that's something that's going to be worked on in the next few years as we mature as a discipline. So.
Got it.
Hi there, Joanna Hillman. I'm a CDC Public Health Informatics Fellow. Thank you all for your presentations. That was wonderful. And Claudia, I just wanted to ask you a quick question. I love the concept of having a very foundational sort of approach to training, really not making them experts, but just, you know, giving them that good foundation. I'm really curious in your long-term goals for taking this globally and what sort of modifications you might make either in reading and grade level or vocabulary. And also in length of time in actual training for these programs. So just curious your thoughts.
Thank you.
I were smart, I would let Ellen Wilde and Anita Renahan-White answer this. I'll take a stab, and you can correct me where I'm misstating. The interest in the global audiences is very intriguing, and I think we would miss the boat. Oh, that's a bad pun. Sorry. I think we would miss the mark if we didn't respect the context and the culture during which this would be delivered. But I want you to understand, I mean, the phone does ring every day from international partners for global audiences who are thirsty for this. And as you know, this baby science of informatics grows and grows, I think that there will be more interest. So our hope is that as we refine it based on real live public health practitioners who each time it's delivered help refine the message with practical applications and tell us where it's clear, where it's not clear, where it's useful, where it's not useful, then we'll have a good clear picture of what's the best use of their time for a 6-month experience. And then combine that with what we understand about the country who offers us the invitation, the context and the culture, and take practical use of their particular workflow. Now, of course, there will be steady themes. Of course, there will be consistencies, and the universal message, which we, of course, intend to be the nugget of all of this. But we would be mistaken not to adapt that for the cultures in mind. And so I want to also invite either Ellen or Anita, if you have additional observations that you would like to share, this might be the moment for any global applications. Ellen Wilde.
Yeah, I'm Ellen Wilde with the Public Health Informatics Institute. And I think we have actually thought about this because we see it as a need in our work that we've done internationally. And we have had some universities that have contacted us interested in partnering with us. Mm-hmm. But just to reiterate what Claudia said, what makes this work here domestically are the practical applications to, you know, domestic public health. And to take this, you just can't, our feeling is we can't just lob it over the wall, that we would really want to take the time to craft something that would meet their needs. And it is a different audience, and they do have slightly different needs. So we'll see.
Good.
I just want to comment on that, is that when we go overseas, we always have to be careful not to export our problems. And our curriculum, you know, we perpetually have this conflict, especially in public health informatics. Do you teach how to deal with the siloed world that we live in, or do you teach towards that fantasy health information exchange world that we're supposed to be aiming towards? And neither one is correct, right? And we're some sort of quantum state of Heisenbergian, who knows where the hell we are. Now, when you go overseas, you know, you have to be careful not to export the bad way things are and to take advantage of this global mobile environment. So I just want to speak to that.
I just want to know, I mean, from what I hear, it looks like you're basing it on practical experience. The informatics, how much it is used in the local and state health departments. Do you recruit state and local health departments to contribute for examples how informatics is being used at local health departments? If you're doing so, what is your process?
Is that me? Was that for me? Or, I'm sorry.
Good. Okay. Start with you.
Okay. Our answer is yes. And that when we were building the curriculum from the very first, that we had in our active member 20 members of our work group creating it, we had local and state health department practitioners sitting at the table and helping us select through competencies and ideas and course descriptions and course titles to say, make it practical, bring it in. Here's my work. Here's what I do in the Fulton County Health Department. And this is what I would need from this sort of learning experience. So from the very beginning, they've been at the table. And then as we took it out for our external reviewers, we made sure that folks combed through that curriculum for us at local and health department levels and said, take this out, this I need more of. and informed us along the way. Our hope is that it's never a click, save, and close document, and it's written now, it's in concrete. It's meant to be live. It's meant to be vetted at all times with real-life folks in the field who say, we no longer use this term, change it to this. This is now much more important. This is a priority. This is the new assignment that we've been given through the funding sources. We no longer can address that capability. So it's meant to be live, and it was created from the very beginning with input from those folks.
Just one comment about this. The second QR code I showed in that slide was this Public Health Data Standards Consortium site that, with funding from the CDC, we've assembled those 300 examples of how IT is being used in public health, explicitly with the purpose of evangelizing, really. So when you go to your immunization, is not a great example since everybody has one, but let's say counterterrorism, you know, if somebody says, I don't care about informatics, you say, well, somebody else is using it in this area. Or if you say, well, I do enforcement, nobody's doing enforcement, well, we have an example of enforcement. It was designed to be a place where people could say their experience. That's why we call them stories. We haven't gotten as much narrative as we would have liked, but everybody's encouraged to go to the QR site and upload your own experience and then share it with folks.
Hi, Amy Ising from UNC. We're standing up a certificate in public health informatics, and I was especially curious about your practicums, and if a student is in an existing MPH program and taking the certificate, is the informatics practicum rolled into any practicum requirements as part of their overall degree, or is it separate?
So Johns Hopkins, there's a required capstone. So in the MPH program, you have a required capstone. And if you're smart, you will make the capstone and the practicum the same thing. And we actually checked that that's correct. There is a practicum. This is nuts. There is a practicum opportunity in the MPH program outside the capstone, which we totally confuse by calling our thing a practicum. But if somebody wants to do an informatics practicum, they can as well. And just to confuse things even more, even people who are not in any informatics program and don't want to hear about from informatics, but they're interested in doing a capstone in informatics, we'll work with them and help them design something or find something for them.
Okay. Can I add a PS? I just want to add a PS, and that is to say, and I'm very intrigued, and I'd love to hear more about your UNC experience as well. We're very glad to be able to announce that our colleagues at the Rollins School of Public Health are just now rolling out their first cohort, and that they're building this into their master's public health degree that, based on the AFIC curriculum, and they have taken the modules and folded those in and have already begun discussing. They're just offering their very first cohort is now beginning, but their discussion of what the practicum experience would be is underway. And with all the academic approval that they were able to receive, they're very excited about that. And the more that we share, the smarter we are, I believe. So thank you for that.
We are, excuse me, we just started with our MPH programs and PhD, and I've been encouraging the students to think about combining the two together, particularly, if for people more academic mind, that when they do their practicum, that the work somehow informs their thesis and is publishable as well. But some people are, we talked about the whole scale of different people, some people are more interested in the practical application. So for that type of student, that's less of a concern. You want something that has more hands-on and is more community-based and focuses on interactions in the community. So it really depends on the student, but I'd really try to get them involved in designing what their practicum will look like so it's valuable to them as well and that they can use it. Because this is where this adds to their resume and gets their foot in the door for their first job, so that you want to do something that they're going to like to do. So that's really what I encourage. But a student's like everything, they think everything is. So trying to have that focus is challenging, and I think that's one of the big things that I was most surprised about was getting a student to focus enough to pick something that they're going to really enjoy doing, because they miss the step that this could be a lifelong activity now. Once you start in informatics, you're there for a long time. Mm-hmm. So
that's actually part of our informed consent process.
I won't even talk about the number of rabbit holes you sent me down with my research. But appreciate it. Any other questions?
Do we have any public health laboratory people in the audience?
One moment.
I was just wondering about recruiting from the lab. It's one of the areas where we've not seen the number of students that I really thought we would see. I thought it would be a big area. And I'd just like to get your perspective then on why. What do you think might be valuable for our laboratory individual, and what classification that might be? Is it management more? Is it some kind of group leader? Or just any kind of insight you could provide, I think, would be helpful for us developing our program.
Janet Forney from the State of Alaska Public Health Lab. I'm a microbiologist there. And I was just curious on the greater, the expanding my own personal knowledge about public health and computers and informatics and surveillance and stuff like that. So that's pretty much all I have.
So more of the technology end than the...
Right, the technology. How does my work on the bench help other people in the public health?
That's interesting.
Can I just follow that up? So folks in clinical laboratories, they had their LIMS as well. Did you speak with them and find out if they had that a comparable sense of isolation from the clinical mission?
Yeah, I'm actually a retired Air Force Master Sergeant, and I worked on the bench for 20 years in chemistry. So in a lot of times, you feel like you're in a hole, and the phone just rings and you talk to the physician. Where's my result? What do you want? Can I get it faster? Let's do this, do that. You never find out either the outcome or why that they need that information.
Which is actually the public health data collection problem all over, that you just collect the data and don't talk to me. So I can't be as enthusiastic as Mr. Park, but clearly if we could show the implications of the data you're collecting, that would be a big deal. Absolutely. Thank you.
Hi, my name is Patsy Metley. I'm with the State of Georgia Information Management. I just kind of wanted to follow up with that and basically be in agreement that when I work a lot with our Georgia Public Health Laboratory and the clinicians there, and it tends to be that most of that group has a lot of work that's associated with just doing the testing of the specimens, and there's not a lot of linkage behind what's actually needed on the next steps that's involved with that process. They tend to be inundated with the time that's involved to do the testing, and it's important from that perspective, and there is no next step for them beyond I need to test the material, get it to the next place, and that's it, and then another specimen's coming in. So, you know, in order to add the informatics piece to it, I think it needs to be a little bit more of the cohesiveness of what public health is all about and how they actually show the different roles and where and what the programmatic needs are.
There was an article a couple of years ago about one multi-hospital folks had to put their labs together, and they were talking about what were the factors to success, and one of them was customer support. And then you look at the literature in EHRs on factors of success, and customer support was not on the list. And I found that kind of humorous that, you know, that in fact the laboratories seem to care about. You may be frustrated that you don't get the results back, but at least the idea of being nice to the people asking for the results would be a good idea. And that was not on the agenda of the EHR people. So I congratulate the lab folks for actually caring about their customers.
I'm one of the first certificate holders from Johns Hopkins, and I'm a nurse in public health. And what my job was, and I haven't been with public health a long time, was to distribute vaccine through the Vaccine for Children's program. But in the meantime, if I distribute the vaccine, but we're still having pertussis epidemics, and there's a nurse over here that's CD that's talking to the lab, but what about our epidemiologists, and what about Han? And so what Johns Hopkins did for me and what the certificate program did for me, which I think could do for you, is open your eyes to the possibilities that in public health we have all these silos, and so people can't see beyond their bench or their hallway. But if you take an informatics course such as this, you can see how, even though, you know, you are always having to evangelize it, that you can actually get everything working together. You go across the hall and talk to them. I did something with epidemiology, and I said, well, why can't we use Han to send out alerts to private providers through the IIS? And so I'm still kind of pushing that, and that's what these programs do, is they open your eyes to the possibilities that weren't there before because you were living in your own little world. Mm-hmm. So that's it.
So from the informed consent perspective, if you're willing to accept the frustration that of knowing where things could be and where they are, I just want to, yeah.
My name is Ulet Halama. I'm from Tulane University. Maybe a little international experience to share. We started a dual master's in biostatistics and health informatics in Ethiopia a year ago. For a reason why it was combined was, on one side you have the doctors, the statisticians who are working in the health system. On the other side, IT is becoming very important. So with a discussion with the university, they thought that if we combine both, it's an experiment, we'll see. If you combine both, that will create a human being who can understand good data and also IT. And in the group, we have a diverse group. We have microbiologists, we have doctors, we have pure IT, and we are trying to see how they interact with each other and survive the course. And we'll see. We'll see. After next year, we'll see how, if that experiment is a right way to go, especially in developing countries where you cannot have different expertise for different things, because the job doesn't exist. You have to be, you know, jack of all trades, you know, and so we'll see.
That sounds like fun.
Any other questions?
My name is Josh Goff. I work with the CDC EpiX program, and one of the challenges we have that speaks to your comment about customer support is working with the processes and the policies regarding testing of the system as we develop the system, as we improve the system. And so I'm curious what the different programs that you spoke about place on the emphasis of testing within that software development lifecycle, and how that is seen as an important factor.
Oh, that's funny. Thank you so much.
That was a diabolical laugh.
We try, in each of the examples that I was sharing earlier, we try to stop short of the in-depth application inside the actual system. So we're talking more about the processes involved without drilling down into any particular system for right or wrong, for good or bad, for any name being recommended versus one versus another, for instance. So ours is more like a survey course approach to understanding how the information systems would support the work than doing any particular recommendations or picking those apart from the particulars of the system itself. But I also am supposing my two colleagues are going to add, they have their perspective as well.
So it's not a major part of the curriculum, to be frank. We, our focus is on teaching a systems perspective. And the informatician generally has the responsibility that nobody else cares about is making sure that the IT coheres with the systems perspective. From that perspective, evaluation is more, did the system accomplish the goals that you want the system to accomplish, rather than did it meet the specs?
Yeah.
You see that? So we even put evaluation in the first quarter precisely because at the same time you're trying to think what you want the system to accomplish, what evaluation tools you have to do that. Then when you start getting more technical, most people forget what the system was supposed to accomplish, and they end up maybe testing, maybe doing a little checklist, but you know the operation was a success, but the patient died. So we want to get, so since nobody else really cares, and there's a lot of pressure against real evaluation of the system, really knowing whether or not the mission was accomplished, we focus more on the evaluation side. Having said that, we are getting more and more testing back into the evaluation course. But I just want to explain. So making our lack of testing a feature rather than a bug.
I'm going to repeat a lot of what Harold just said. The testing of software itself is usually part of the software engineering perspective. Where the failure point is in informatics usually isn't in the software or the technology not working. It's in the implementation and the interaction with the people involved with it. So one of the two things, one of the first slides I put up there is the IOM cycle for public health quality improvement, you know, assessment, evaluation, policy. You know, it's the same thing. We just use a little different terminology for it. And we use one of the larger failures seem to occur when you're making major changes to an IT system. And it's not in the technology not meeting specification. It's in people's jobs changing and not understanding how their job changed. So that's where the real failure point comes in the public health informatics end more often than a technology failure. If something's not coming across right, you have 20 people saying, hey, this number's not right, fix it, and you get that done. And then as Harold said, when you start looking at these changes, sometimes you make small changes from a different perspective, you're using data in a different way, and all of a sudden it doesn't start showing you what you thought it was supposed to show you any longer, and it's changed a bunch of different things. So evaluating what that outcome is, are you really seeing what you expected to see or what you thought would be there, where we focus most of our time in the testing and evaluation. But you have to know you need to have those individuals up front also to evaluate whether the software is really working the way you intended it to. And again, this is one of those areas I think that's getting more sophisticated also. It's hard to have people in public health informatics keep up with the area of testing and software and make sure it's competent in both places. I think that's a real challenge, and it's getting more and more difficult as things get a lot more complicated and the systems get more complicated to evaluate like that. There's a whole different regimen of testing now that wasn't there 10 years ago at all. So.
Yeah, thank you for those very thoughtful answers. And I think from what we found in my own experience, if we do that continuously, test continuously, we make small changes and do, just like you said, involve the key people rather than try to predict that it's all going to work later. It's always more effective doing it in small batches.
Good. Test and retest.
Kind of agile.
Yeah.
My name is Lisa Lang. I'm at the National Library of Medicine.
Okay.
Hello. We're interested in, among other things, a particular kind of person in the informatics spectrum, and I am curious to know how you might suggest we would find modelers, because the folks who you're talking about, there's no question, it's critical to be involved in implementation, to be thinking about systems and the like, but of the folks who you encounter through your various programs, would we ever find, how do we grow the next generation of modelers, the people who will be working to perfect the RX norms, the SNOMEDs, the ICD, 10CM? I mean, who do you encounter in your day-to-day teaching that would be a fruitful place to touch and tap and grow?
So I'll just dive in. First of all, there are different levels of modeling, right? So PHII in particular has been selling the idea of business process analysis for how many years now? Mm-hmm. I'm sure that's part of AFIC. And I'm sorry to be speaking for you, but apparently I've been informing the PHII, so I should be. So that level of analysis and modeling, that's really crucial. And I think most curriculum folks would agree that informaticians should be able to model processes and should be able to at least draw the right pictures and interpret the right pictures. The level, when you're talking about the RX Norman, that level, that's a bit that is a level lower in tech, in the technology. And I don't have an easy answer except to beware that the folks who are very good at the technology modeling may not be talking to the people at the higher level. And I don't have a generic answer for that, but that would be a concern I would have.
What a hard question, and a great question. And, you know, I'm sobered by the number that you listed earlier when we think about the workforce, and that I think that the truth is that public health informatics is growing and wider and stronger now than it was 3 years ago, 5 years ago, certainly 7 years ago. We're in a different place than we would have imagined. And with the times that we're living in terms of technology and the spark fire that is, that seems to me a factor that's going to work in our advantage. And yet, being sobered by the workforce changes the numbers. I think it actually behooves all of us to give that very careful thought and to spend the next few days sampling other folks in the hallway and listening with great care to these discussions, to these sessions, to the keynotes, and see. I don't want any of us to give a blithe answer to that, because I think that gets to the core of what challenges each one of us, actually. And for each of us to think, where is the possible next? Where's the group? Who do we tap? Who's ready? Who would have not only the resources but the talents, you know, to fit into the slots, and how can we find them? I want to make sure that we don't give a blithe answer to that, and instead challenge each other to keep that dialogue alive. Roland, did you want to add anything too?
I want to. When I look at this, Regenstrief is involved in the LOINC process, developed a lot there, so we see a lot of people, but they're more interested in the clinical application at this point, and that's where I see most of the work being done. If I understand your question correctly, so I would look at specific problem areas, and I think the big one probably right now in public health is the newborn screening coding system. So I'd look for those people who are involved with that process, because they start getting that understanding of public health, and they're looking for the aggregate information now, which is a little bit different than the clinical systems. But that's just one. There's a few out there, but I think it's a challenge to find those people, because it's not. They're just now starting to get to the ability to do this type of work. And I'm just starting to see some of that really being published now, where before I didn't see it quite as often. So,
Roland, you swallow the word LOINC, and just to be clear, that's what he was talking about.
Any other questions or comments? I do have one closing question. All of your programs represent a little different niche, and fills a different niche. How would you counsel some of these prospective students in here? We've heard from several who might be interested. How would you help them understand or make decide which type of program? I'm not going to make you sell your own programs, but which type of program might be appropriate? Some of the considerations, you know, maybe whether or not they have time for a full degree program, or if they already have a master's or a doctorate, you know, just some of those things that you might counsel on.
One of the things that I was happiest about when Roland made the first phone call about doing a conversation today here at the conference was that I thought it was a great effort to remind folks that there are many different channels or avenues to pursue. And, you know, if understanding the workforce and the workforce needs and the training programs that are out there gets me very excited. Not as excited as Todd Parks, but because I can still stay on the ground a little bit. But what I like about that is that there is a fit for each person. And I think that it's best for folks to choose what fits them and to no longer have to feel like there's one right answer. That there certainly are folks in this world who have the motivation and can sustain the energy and the expertise for pursuing a PhD. And that is
enormously important in this field. There are others who may have one or two masters already and have that appetite for a second or third master's, and that's potent too. But I also encourage folks that are in the field who say, I have a need or an interest to stay practicing in my local health department and would like to supplement what I'm doing with what I'm learning. And all I'm saying is that I'm glad that it's a wider set of options folks can choose, and I encourage each person that's considering the options to choose what fits for you and not what seems to suit somebody else sitting to your right and left. There are many amazing resources, and online learning is so potent and such a rich, growing tool that we can all benefit, you know, even sitting at our desk.
As a decision analyst, I would have you figure out what the options are, and I just want to make sure we heard about the CDC fellowship as opposed, in addition to these other options, and what outcome you want. I mean, what career. I think the important thing is to think about what career you would like, which is changing, and there's no easy answer to this. And what type of piece of paper do you need to get that career is not an easy answer at this point. We don't have a certification. Certainly sweat equity counts for a lot, and experience with systems counts for a lot. Doing sometimes counts more than a degree. Does a certificate give you enough? Don't know. Which community do you want to be working in? Do they demand degrees and so forth? So I think it's a mix of those sorts of options. Recall that the work options are not just public health agencies. There are consulting, especially in going overseas. There are the NGOs. So there are a lot of options for putting public health informatics skills into account. We're in a tough period, and I know it's, you know, if you can code C++ with infusions of Mountain Dew, that's terrific. But if you have a mortgage to find, it's harder.
My answer is pretty simple. We're trying to promote local public health informatics development. So if you live in Indiana, I think you should go to the IU program. But as Harold, I think Harold and Claudia spoke of all the other points to consider as well. But I think the big thing is, you know, not only that, but balancing what you want to do and where you think it's going to, how you think it's going to impact your work experience and what you're going to wind up doing. So, thank you.
Thank you very much, everyone.